And finally today, we're going to end the show with a look at a certain type of food.
I got three kitchens going. I got brisket going at Newman's. I got Kugel working at Mrs. Sanfino's. And this is Kreplach. Here. Try some of this.
No, I don't want to.
Eat, eat. You're skin and bones. Huh?
Oh, this is awful.
Oh, sure. And it's Kreplach. Acquired taste, yeah.
Ah, yes, Jewish food. The Jewish deli in particular. Most estimates say they hit their peak back in the 1930s, but now we're seeing a bit of a resurgence. Mamala's Delicatessen opened in Kendall Square this week, and Exodus Bagels and Steinbones are set to open soon. To talk more about Jewish delis in the past and present, we're joined by Corby Kummer, James Beard Award-winning food writer and senior editor at The Atlantic. Welcome, Corby.
Glad to be here.
So you went to Mamala's today in Kendall Square. They just opened Tuesday. What did you eat and how was it?
So I had some of the handmade bagels. I had chocolate babka, and I had their home-cured lox and their whipped cream cheese in two varieties because it was 9 in the morning. They open at 8. They do breakfast from 8 to 11 and lunch from 11 to 4. No dinner yet, but that's in the offing. Like, it's a matter of weeks, not months, so they say.
Yeah, the early hour explains why you didn't go for the pastrami sandwich, because I was going to say that's sort of the definition of good Jewish deli food.
Oh, I am so waiting for pastrami, corned beef, and chopped liver, and I saw a big bowl of chopped liver just ready to be spread onto toast or challah.
So you'll be going back?
Oh, often. Yes, frequently.
So I want to know, food-wise, what is it that makes a great Jewish deli? Do you judge a Jewish deli by its pastrami sandwich, by its matzo ball soup, by its chopped liver?
So it's by the meats. That's what most people associate with delis. So what we'll all be looking at is the pastrami, the corned beef. I love tongue. Tongue is among my favorite meats, and I grew up with it. Scarily haunting our kitchen in a pressure cooker, and matzo ball soup. But it's really what people think of and what they go to are overstuffed sandwiches that you can barely get your mouth around. It takes so much to bite into them. And homemade rye bread that has to be quite tangy and have caraway. And they have a very ambitious baking program. So several kinds of babka, several kinds of cookies, and all of their bagels made by hand right there.
I've got to admit, my mouth is watering
at
this point.
As it should be.
Now, like you, I grew up in a family that ate tongue, and it was considered something of a delicacy in our house. But I wonder, is there a limit in terms of how much or how authentic a Jewish deli can be while still appealing to a broader non-Jewish audience? Will it turn off customers to be eating something like tongue? Or, you know, is there a strong appetite for something like schmaltz and gribenis, which is chicken fat and, I guess, what you would call chicken skin cracklings?
They are cracklings. There shouldn't be. I think, if anything, it's the unfamiliarity and the odd terms that might put people off. But given that people love chicharrones, which are cracklings, and all kinds of pork, all kinds of strange head cheese and charcuterie, tongue is really the mildest of all of this. And tongue just is like better brisket. I mean, it's really sweet. It's so moist. It's so flavorful. There doesn't have to be anything gross about it. It's a very thin slice. So it seems and sounds ethnic because it's out of another era. But given what's so popular in terms of nose-to-tail pork right now, it's as nothing. So it should be mainstream. Schmaltz. Pork fat. Everyone loves lard now. So schmaltz is chicken fat. I said pork fat as a mistake. But in fact, if you go to any of the Eastern European countries and you ask for schmaltz, it's lard.
Oh, interesting.
It's pork fat. It's the generic animal fat term.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, another kind of problem I could anticipate perhaps for Jewish delis from the Jewish audience is you come in and you sort of compare it to your grandmother's cooking, your Oma, your Bubby, and you thinking, well, this kugel isn't quite like my Bubby used to make or quite like my Oma made. I mean, do Jewish delis suffer from that sort of comparison?
Everyone does, and this is going to as well. I was talking with one of the owners. They have... They were originally the partners in Hungry Mother in Cambridge. Now they're right at 1 Kendall Square. Strangely enough, they're right across from Andy Husband's terrific new barbecue smoke shop. So it's like all trafe,
like meat
which
paradise.
Means unkosher. So it's all pork on one side smoke shop. And although they're not actually kosher, Mamas will be serving no pork. It'll be having, you know, lots of beef and tongue and lots of smoked fish. But also smoked. So it's this resurgence in home-cured meats. So they're doing all of their lox. The lox that I, not all of it. They're getting some from the Cadillac of Brooklyn.
The Russ and Daughters?
Well, you see, they say that they're getting from the Brooklyn supplier that supplies Russ and Daughters. And they're getting
intrigue.
It shipped in from Brooklyn several times a week. I had their own home-cured lox, which I found very much like Gravlox. It was very sweet. Very moist and kind of fragrant, terribly fresh. Not what people think of as very salty lox. That will be their Nova lox, which I'm going to taste next time. I have to taste through the entire menu,
of
course.
So you'll be camped out the entire week at Mamala's, from what I'm hearing.
Oh, I think that weeks are going to... 1 week isn't going to be enough.
Now, I want to put this in sort of a broader context. How do you see Mamala's opening in Kendall Square fitting into the larger history of Jewish delis in Boston? There aren't many.
So something that we were talking about, in addition to comparing it to your grandmother's food and never finding it satisfactory because it wasn't actually made by your grandmother. So as the owner was just saying this morning, the matzo ball soup, it's either going to be not salty enough or too salty. The noodle kugel, either it has too much raisins and cinnamons or raisins and cinnamon are absolutely verboten. They never should have been in it. Depending on what your family recipe is, the fact is we don't have a context of delis in Boston. They're making it up. So the owners were very influenced by a book that I excerpted on the Atlantic's website by David Sachs called Save the Deli. And it is an exploration of the delis that remain and the tradition that was going out of style for a long time and is coming back. And so when we go to Mamala's now, we're having their interpretation of a tradition that they're reviving and that Bostonians have not had. It's been a generation-long gap. And so unless you've been to New York, unless you've gone to Russ and Daughters, the Touchstone, Second Avenue Deli, Katz's for pastrami and salami, you won't know these traditions. And so the question is, will you be attracted to them? Will you want to go back after the exoticism of chopped liver and gribbiness? And there's really nothing better than chicken skin cracklings that have been crisped up after the fat has been rendered from the chicken. Then the chicken skin is cut into little half-inch squares and slowly sautéed with onions until it's terribly crisp and crackling. It's often used as a garnish. If you salt it and put it on challah, it's the best snack on earth. So I think everyone likes sweet onions. Sweet onions feature very heavily in Jewish cooking. That kind of long-cooked sweetness. You know, the owner was saying, I sat down a friend of mine who grew up with absolutely no delis, and I said, if you weren't coming out of loyalty to me as a friend, would you ever come to this place again? And he said, I moved to Cambridge. I'd never tasted Indian food in my life. My family goes out for it once a week. It depends on what's there and what you educate yourself with and what you acquire a taste for. So we just have to hope that enough people will acquire a taste for deli food that they'll keep Mamala's alive.
I guess the last question here is, we have about a minute left. Why is Jewish deli important, culturally and food-wise?
It was a way of keeping cultural identity. It was saying, when you go and you have a pastrami sandwich or a corned beef sandwich or matzo ball soup, which everyone can make, chicken soup is common to many cultures, pastrami not so much, and pickles, which are now very fashionable, you're keeping alive a culture and saying, I belong to this identity, mostly Eastern European Jews that came over somewhere between 1890 and 1950, 1960. I want to say I am part of this tradition, as assimilated as I am into the culture. I want to honor my forebears and enjoy this food. And it's a kind of ethnic food that's part of the whole rich melting pot of all the foods we enjoy.
I think I might be headed to Mamala's soon. Corby Kummer is a James Beard Award-winning food writer and senior editor at The Atlantic. For photos of him eating at Mamala's this morning, you can go to our website, radioboston.org. Thanks so much for sharing,
Thanks
Corby.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Shira Springer. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.